Greetings this morning as we continue our study in the book of Daniel. And in our study of Daniel, we have seen the witness of he and his friends against idolatry, particularly back in chapters 1 and 3. Also forthcoming, we'll find that witness in chapter 6, which we'll look at next week. And in these same chapters, Daniel's great witness for the power and the might of the one true and living God. Furthermore, we have seen that history foreshadows prophecy. Particularly here in Daniel, we need to keep that in mind. The golden image and the furnace of fire find their antitype later in the book of Revelation. Everything recorded in these first historic events anticipate the future prophecy of the latter chapters. As we study, we must keep this overall layout of the book of Daniel in mind. The first chapters are historic fact, and they have an interrelationship with future chapters. Beginning next week, particularly with the reign of Darius in chapter 6. But today we're looking at chapter 5. And so open your Bibles to Daniel once again. Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. You know, you heard me say many times, the best way to learn any subject matter is the whole to the part. I don't care if it's nuclear fission or whatever. And that's particularly the way with Daniel. The overall layout is historic and then prophecy to follow up. But here, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 5, the first name we see there is Belshazzar. Don't be confused. That is not Daniel. There's a difference between Belteshazzar and Shazzar. Shazzar here, Belshazzar, is actually the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel is 87 years old. At this point, he's been captive basically his whole life, taken as a young man, made a eunuch, given the name Belteshazzar by Nebuchadnezzar himself, became second or in command of the whole kingdom because of his brightness and his intelligence that God had given him. So let's read on. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. By the way, if you ever do any studying on archaeology, you'll know that the banquet hall in which Belshazzar held this feast has been discovered in the ruins of Babylon. It's kind of interesting. The room is 60 feet wide, 172 feet long, beautifully decorated walls. The date of the feast was 426 BC. And as I said, Daniel was now 87 years old, captive his whole life, basically, there in Babylon. Read on, chapter 5, verse 2. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels, which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, might drink therein. And then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the God of gold and of silver, of brass and of iron, of wood and of stone. I don't believe, of course, that at this point the vessels were sacred. When these vessels were stolen and taken out of the temple, the Shekinah glory of God had already left the temple, or they never would have been able to even touch them. For example, the Ark of the Covenant, all that stuff was taken out. They never would have been able to carry it off had the Shekinah glory of the Father or the Lord not already left. And so they were no longer really sacred. The downfall to Belshazzar came as a result of idol worship and praise to the gods of this world, gold, silver, etc. Belshazzar's sin was against light and knowledge. We can read eventually later, and I'm not going to jump over there, but we'll read in verses 22 and 23 and 24 that he knew his father's plight, even with what he was doing. His father, Nebuchadnezzar, critics like to jump in here to point out that history shows that his father was not Nebuchadnezzar, but Nabonidus. And that is true. However, what they don't point out is the fact that neither Hebrew or Chaldean had a word for grandfather. So Belshazzar's grandfather was Nebuchadnezzar. His father was Nabonidus. We can read about that. It's interesting how Jeremiah, the prophet, has prophesied so many of these things, and we can learn what's going on in Daniel sometimes by reading Jeremiah. And I want to go back and just look at Jeremiah with regard to this father and grandfather and son and so forth here with regard to Belshazzar. Turn back to Jeremiah chapter 27. It's a couple books back. Jeremiah chapter 27. Jeremiah, of course, was on the scene prophesying before Daniel. They overlap a little bit in history, but he was in advance of Daniel. Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 6. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. My servant and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him, and all nations shall serve him and his son and his son's sons. So Jeremiah knew in advance that the kingdom was going to go from Nebuchadnezzar to his son and then to Belshazzar, his grandson. Let's continue on in chapter 5. Verses 5 and 6. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosened, and his knees smote one against the other. I think if a hand came out and started to write on the wall up there, we'd say, what in the hell is going on here? And the king didn't, that would be something. I mean, can you imagine? Maybe only see something from the wrist down, come along and right into plaster on the wall. His joints were loose and his knees were shaking together. Well, here we begin to see that the last king of Babylon ends in blasphemous acts, which he had done, Belshazzar had done. This finger writing on the wall scared the hell out of him, like I said. And I think he knew that he had done wrong, as we will read eventually when we get to verses 22, 23, and 24. And this is a historic foreshadowing of what is said in later chapters. Now, we're not going to go there, but I'm just going to give you an idea here of how we jump from history to prophetic things as we go into these next chapters. Daniel chapter 7, where we're not yet, verse 25, it says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, the true God." Daniel 8, chapter 11, he magnified himself to the praise of the hosts. Daniel chapter 9, verse 36, he shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. Revelation chapter 13, verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great blasphemies. So as Belshazzar, Goliath and the Assyrians were smote by God, so will it be at the end when the great blasphemer of all time, Antichrist. That's what's being spoken of here in this prophecy, is we'll see as we go along. And even when we jump again and study Revelation, we'll begin to see that this prophecy is against Antichrist and occurs during that time, the throne of the power of the world, who will be Antichrist. Let's move on with verse 7. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof, shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. And then came in all the king's wise men. By the way, let me address that. The third, I think Daniel was already second at that point. By his grandfather had been made second in the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? Young boy from Israel. But because of what God has given him, he advanced even in the Babylon. Then came all the king's men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. And then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in the kingdom whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, the astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king called Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry. I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, and they should read the writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretation and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make knowledge to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to yet another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. You realize that's the whole earth? All nations? All languages? I mean, Nebuchadnezzar was unbelievable. That image that we saw of Nebuchadnezzar with the head of gold and silver, brass, and so forth, down to the clay, whom he would, he slew. Nebuchadnezzar had the power to kill who he wanted to kill and who he didn't. And whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knowest all this, but thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of the house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hands thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Before we go any further, and before we get to this writing on the wall, I want to point out something that's interesting to me. If you will, turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. So often we don't realize that the things that are taught in the New Testament have always been taught in the Old Testament, but it's not so prevalent. It's more of a historical aspect of what the nation of Israel was doing, did or didn't do. But yet there's still this same teaching there, and here's a good example of it. If you notice in what we just read, Daniel's saying that Belshazzar knew all of these things. He says, thou hast not glorified. There in verse 23, you've worshipped the gods of silver and gold, which neither see nor hear, In verse 22, thou hast not humbled thine heart. Verse 23 and 4, the Lord God of heaven. This is echoed in chapter 1 of Romans. Look at verses 21 to 26. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient. Paul teaching the exact same thing that Belshazzar here is learning from Daniel, as that which has happened in that kingdom and how it went away as a result of his actions. Now, beginning with, if you want to go back now to Daniel, where we were, chapter 5, beginning with the 25th verse, where we will read that which was written on the wall, and Daniel was brought in to bring understanding to that. Daniel chapter 5, we'll start with verse 24. And when the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the writing that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Daniel says, this is the interpretation of the thing, Mene, God hath numbered the kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Mede and the Persians. The word here, Mene, is in Hebrew, can be a verb or a noun. Belshazzar and his wise men, when they saw the word Mene, could only associate it with the god of destiny as a noun. That's how they looked at it. And by the way, this god is actually mentioned in Isaiah. But Daniel knew that it was to be taken as a verb, therefore numbered. The second word, tekel, is a Chaldean equivalent of the Hebrew shekel. It means to weigh. From this comes shekel, which is a weight of gold. And it's interesting that when you add M to it, to that shekel, it becomes the plummet or a plumb line for weighing something that's upright and straight. So we have Mene, Mene, Tekel, or numbered, numbered, weighted. That's what it read. And then the last word, euphorsin, most are puzzled when they come to this word, the actual writing on the wall being euphorsin rather than Perez. Why did Daniel say Perez and not euphorsin? Well, you know from our studies that Greek and Hebrew do not have so much as we do in English, just individual words. But the languages are more forms of words put together. And you have to learn kind of to read in forms rather than word for word, individual word. The best that I can come up with as far as a form thinking in a language would be to take our word, the word broke. In our language, broke can be an adjective, it can be a noun, or it can be a verb, but the word broke is the root word. For example, if you take it and you modify it by putting an N on the end, it becomes broken. So it becomes an adjective. If you add an ing, you can get out of that word brokering, which the root word is still broke, but now it becomes a verb by adding that ing to the root word. This is somehow the way that Greek and Hebrew work in these. So here the word euphorsin, the U in Hebrew is actually refers to and it's therefore Daniel eliminated it. And the IN is dropped like many of our own words, leaving the root word Perez. And you say, well, it doesn't look like Perez to me. Well, that's true. But in Hebrew, it is Perez. Of course, Daniel knew his Hebrew. So just as meaning can be a noun or a verb, so it is with Perez. As a verb, it is divided, but as a noun, it is the name. What would you guess? Persian. It is, as a noun, the word Persian, and the word thereby revealing by whom the kingdom was to be divided or taken. Read verse 29. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Darius was a Persian. History, by the way, bears this all out. Isaiah was well before Daniel. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Verse 1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Who was Cyrus? The Persian that took the Babylonian Empire. You can read how they shut the water off. They diverted the water of the Euphrates, and of course that allowed them to access the gates on the northern part of the city and on the lower southern part of the city, and that's how they, how the Persians actually took the Babylonian Empire. There is a tablet in Iraq that they have found that reads today, on the 16th day of Tammuz, the army of Cyrus, without fighting, to Babylon descended. They took the city almost just by being able to access through the gates. They shouldn't have been surprised. Turn over a little bit further to Jeremiah, next book over from Isaiah. Look at Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah prophesying, or Jeremiah prophesying, Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 11. Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple, of course, which that kingdom in Nebuchadnezzar took. We see reference to that over in verse 30. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They became as women, and they have burned her dwelling place, her bars, and broken. One post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end. It was prophesied. Nebuchadnezzar could have known what was going to happen, that Darius and Sarah, Cyrus were going to take the city. What's interesting, I think, with regard to this chapter, and I don't want to go on any further. We'll start on chapter 6 next week, but it shows in this chapter that Jehovah is the God of heaven. He ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. We may not always see the hand of God, but he has never vacated his throne nor ceased to guide and overrule in order that all his purpose may be accomplished. It is seen throughout the Old Testament. It's prophesied by the main prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah, hundreds of years and then thousands of years in advance. And we're going to find this, especially when we study next the book of Revelation, how this is all tied together and all of this prophecy is significant with regard to the time of the end when Antichrist will be the world power and the world leader. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our understanding that we can have through this written word. I ask that you would give each of us here open hearts, open minds, understanding, that we may grow more in the grace and the knowledge of you, that you may abide in our hearts, that we may have a peace and that passes understanding in a crooked and perverse world in which we live, but yet we may still be rooted and grounded in your love. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.